been kind of sunny for the last few days here in beautiful Northwest Washington. Or the Puget Sound area is more, I think, more appropriate. I'm just used to living in places called the Northwest. Believe it or not, I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, which was called the Midwest, even though, you know, people here think we're Yankees or something like that. I don't get it. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Alvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That is our voicemail number nationwide. Joining me today is Meredith. How are you?
I'm doing good, Sam. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
A little bit of that in a minute. And joining us again is Luke. How are you?
Doing great.
Fantastic. This is your second time on the show.
Second time.
Are you enjoying being put through the ringer like this? Is this working out for you?
It's enjoyable.
Okay. Anything I can do? Maybe loosen the thumb screws? Maybe move the jumper cables or anything like that? To a sort of a less sensitive area?
Comfy over there?
Less sensitive is always better.
Okay, good. No, it's sunny, which means human beings are getting sunlight, which means soon everybody in the Puget Sound region will stop feeling like I do most days.
Hey!
Vitamin D.
Yeah, that good old sunshine.
Yeah. I don't...
Doing away with the sad.
You know, I know people talk about it, but I don't think people, like, just observationally, I don't know that we realize just how much, like, the severity of the effect it has on the population here.
Yeah, we kind of brush it off because it's a reality for a lot of the population
that
they deal with seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
I grew up here. I'm used to it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I grew up here. I'm used to it, too. But,
well,
yeah.
This
winter was rough.
This winter was pretty dim. And I mean that in most senses of the word dim. And so it's starting to get warm again. It's starting to get nice again. And I think,
I can feel my mood lifting slightly.
And to help that along, we have to talk about Stephen Hawking. Theoretical physicist, author, and public speaker, and atheist, Stephen Hawking died this week in Cambridge, England at the age of 76. Having suffered from the degenerative neurological condition ALS since his early 20s, Hawking outlived his initial prognosis by 5 decades. Though coy about his beliefs in early books and interviews, Hawking became explicit about his atheism this decade, writing that while we are each free to believe what we want, it was his view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. He emphasized that no one created the universe and no one directs our fate. And when asked to elaborate, one quote where he asserted that we would know the mind of God if we were to uncover a unifying theory of the universe, Hawking clarified that he meant we would know everything that God would know if there were a God, which there isn't. I'm an atheist. Which I honestly didn't know. I didn't know he... I was under the impression that he was continuing to be coy.
Yeah, I was too. I didn't know that he had been that outspoken towards the end about his atheism.
I did read an article saying that perhaps his philosophical outlook regarding religion might have been outshone by another professor at Cambridge who is maybe a little bit more forward about his beliefs on this subject.
He,
that would be Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, from my followings on the atheist subreddit, that there's several quotes that are out there that show this, and it's been there for a few years now.
Yeah. I guess I just wasn't paying close enough attention, which is a common crime I commit.
Far too much time on Reddit.
Why? All right.
I can't do Reddit.
Yeah.
Something to do.
Okay. No, what, I'm not judging here. I'm actually, well, okay, maybe I'm judging a little bit, but I'm not, if I'm judging anything, I'm judging Reddit, not the people who use it. I don't get Reddit.
It has some issues right now, especially with...
Well, no, I understand that. Yeah. I also know that Reddit started out as more of a technical place to be rather than a social place to be.
It is definitely a social place now.
Yeah. And I used Reddit in the very early days when a bunch of Linux knobs would show up and talk about whatever was bothering them or whatever software package they were working on. And then somehow it turned into MySpace, but worse. And I don't know. I don't understand. Or no, you know what? Not MySpace, but worse. I'll go you nerdier. Slashdot, but worse.
Oh.
It's great for up-to-date news or fairly up-to-date news. It's great for commentary on that news.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of fantastic GIFs out there. I say GIFs.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, we're
in agreement.
We're GIF agnostic.
I agree.
I mean, I'm personally in agreement with GIF.
Great GIFs for posting on other forums. It's something I just enjoy.
Okay.
I don't understand it as a format. It's like a message board that went wrong and comments aren't in the right order and you can't find anything. And I'm just going to stick to Googling
stuff. It went so very wrong.
So part
the user design on it is awful.
So part of the reason why I felt it necessary to dive into Reddit, I suppose, is because I don't have a whole lot. I mean, I'm sad to see somebody die.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know physics is much, you know, physics is much the worst with his passing. But the first thing I thought of was MC Hawking. I have to be honest. I read about his death, or I was told about his death, and immediately the first notes of F the Creationists started playing in my brain and have been playing essentially nonstop for 3 days. Help me, worms in my brain, get them out.
It's a small world after
no, that doesn't,
no, that's
yeah.
not your...
No, I took
do
the
I
shot
need to
for
sing
that.
Toto? Oh.
No, okay. It's the song that never ends sometimes helps. It's weird the songs that get stuck in my head.
We were actually just singing that last night with the bartender.
Why?
The song that never ends?
Yeah, I don't know why. St. Patrick's Day at the bar down the street that's closing.
Yeah.
What else happens?
But Stephen Hawking, very big fan of science fiction, appears in all of my favorite science fiction, developed a lot of interesting theories about information destruction and black holes and Hawking radiation, which is, yeah, I mean...
Very interesting.
Very interesting stuff. I don't want to pretend that his contributions to science were anything other than...
Incredible.
Anything other than incredible, which is so sad, and it might be a mark against me and the society that made me, but mostly me. Let's not lie. That the first thing that I thought of was if those superstitious et ceteras want to throw that kind of party, I'm going to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which
well, there were a lot of people that Christians that came out after his death saying, "Ha ha ha! I hope you're having fun burning in hell," which is
that was awful.
Awful.
You know, I have to admit something fairly mean comes out of me when I see that kind of stuff. Really do. Like I suddenly feel it. You know, it's like okay. So now that we've heard from the shallow end of the gene pool, let's find out what you know. People think, you know, and it's like that's really unkind even in this context, but there's just something that just bites me and just makes me that turns, you know, that makes me grow an even worse evil goatee on my goatee.
Actual evil Sam.
Yeah. Every time somebody decides to capitalize on somebody's death to push their Bronze Age fun time imaginary fan club. It's one of those things that will make me into, you know, I don't think I've ever been called an anti-theist, but you want to make me into one? Keep doing that. Just come on. Bring
keep
it.
Pushing the button.
Bring it. Bring it. Do you feel lucky? Bring it. I'm not kidding. It gets me mad. And, yeah. And
rightly so.
Now, what's weird is when I die, I want it in my, like, you know, okay, my family just doesn't do funerals. I think I've said this a few times. It's not in our tradition. It's actually explicitly in our tradition not to do it.
Do you just ignore the fact that it happened, or
no? We'll throw a party.
Party?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll have a wake. I mean, okay. We are Irish. Oh yeah. Did you guys enjoy National Stay the Heck Away from Bars Day?
Too much.
Okay.
far too much.
I always stay home because it's just such a madhouse, and you know, you just can't keep the pipeline going when there's 8 million people in a bar. So.
I actually made the trek out to Tacoma and went to a punk rock show over.
Oh,
somewhere out here.
Where?
Airport Tavern.
Oh, I know that one.
Down in South Tacoma way.
Yeah,
nice.
This air is in Tacoma, so people will be. Somebody who was there with you might listen to this.
They might see me.
Yeah, so
they might see you on the radio.
On the radio, yes. They might have seen me and now hear me.
This fragmented. Could somebody bring me back to some sort of topic?
Stephen Hawking,
and then we went into funerals.
Oh.
Right.
Funerals.
And yeah, being Irish and funerals. Well, American Irish. I don't know anything about the actual country of Ireland. We don't have funerals, but I want very specific things in when I die to happen. And I
Such
want
as?
Seven different religious people telling me what I am discovering now that I am dead. On stage at the same
time.
Have
a parade of clergy members from different religions come up and say, oh, he's...
Yeah. And I wanted a band composed of a fife, bagpipes, and an accordion.
That sounds amazing.
And I thought, I was trying to think of, instruments that I like that everybody hates and what it would look like if you combined them. But then I realized that, and then I was, on Wikipedia, 3 weeks ago, that there's actually a region in northern Spain where those instruments are played together as the local music. And it sounds exactly like I thought it would, except the bagpipes are different because they're more they're a different construction than your standard Scottish bagpipes.
Is it as glorious as you assumed it would be?
No, I thought it'd be a little bit of a letdown. And I'll be honest with you, maybe I'm just not seeing the right momentous folk band in this case. But it was exactly as it was. How do I describe it? I was expecting it to be not as bad as I thought. Does that make any sense at all?
Does.
Okay.
A small amount of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got lost when you said Fife, and I just keep thinking of the town of Fife playing a band somehow.
Can we do that? Can we get the entire town of Fife to play in a band?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay.
You can try.
Knowing what I know of Stephen Hawking's humor, I suspect he might have at least appreciated this conversation, if not actually enjoyed it.
Did you hear that he would purposely run over people's toes that he didn't like
that
his wheelchair?
That surprises me not at all. I like that. I really like that one of the things that makes me really like humanity a little bit is that his voice, which was developed by Intel, became so much a part of his personality that not only would he not upgrade it, but people who would develop text-to-speech technologies kind of stopped using that algorithm because that was the algorithm that he used.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know, part of me kind of liked that. And,
that's nice.
Maybe it's the technologist in me. I don't know what it is.
From what I remember, his only complaint was that it made him sound like he was an American.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
Yeah, he didn't like that, but...
Yeah.
It was amazing that we were able to do that for him.
Which I can respect, being a Cambridge guy and everything. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're into the break. When we come back, we are going to talk about... cryptocurrencies. And... J-pop.
Has Ngadwe Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We have an email from Bethany from the internet who writes, "This isn't about religion or atheism, but I want to pass it on since it made me think of Sam's Ask a Blockchain special 2 or 3 weeks ago. Watch the video. The costumes are not what I would have expected." And so we decided to do it as soon as I could find a video with the actual song in it, which is the thing that we're listening to right now.
It's so catchy. I'm muted.
A J-pop band called Kasotsuka Shoujo, which translates to Virtual Currency Girls, is trying to teach confused consumers about cryptocurrency. Each of the band's members personifies a different currency, including Bitcoin, Monacoin, and Ripple.
I feel like I'm watching a anime cartoon like Voltron or Saber Rider or something.
Singers wear sexy maid costumes, luchador style masks representing the various monetary genres, and fuzzy animal ears. The musicians, who are paid in Bitcoin, sing about good password hygiene and caution against buying too much coin in case a value crashes. They say they believe strongly in the technology, celebrate virtual currency users as a community.
So it's an educational video.
So do you guys remember the IBM songbook?
No.
It's a little bit, it's this little slice of hacker lore in that IBM was trying to like build up a community thing going on, you know, trying to build up community or something like that for the corporation. So they did like a folk song book of songs about IBM.
That's adorable.
It's really terrible. But yeah, it's also adorable.
I think it's adorable.
Yeah. And just, is this... Okay, you said educational. Is this educational or is this advertising?
Were they funded by an exchange or is this just something they're putting out to educate the Japanese populace?
You know, when I see something like this, my initial question is who's paying for this?
Right,
because I'm suitably American enough that follow the money is in my DNA. I couldn't figure it out by Showtime. So I don't know who's running this or why they're doing it.
Who's running this? Who's behind it?
Yeah, I don't know who the man behind
it is. What is your purpose?
Yeah. But I know the musicians apparently believe in Bitcoin and want to be paid in virtual currencies, which, cool. All right. Yeah. Whatever. I kind of love that in J-pop, they will make a band around literally any concept whatsoever. Like, a lot of people offer that as, like, a criticism. I think it's amazing.
They're not doing a terrible job.
No, they're really not.
Yeah, it's... I like this.
I mean, I suspect there's a...
I'm a fan.
I suspect there's a pile of session musicians behind this somewhere. I have to make that suspicion because you see them on stage and they're... You know, it's the standard shoujo thing where they're dancing and it's...
And the costumes.
Right.
Their costumes are odd as well. They literally wear like different colored luchador masks.
Yeah,
have the different types of cryptocurrency on them.
It really does look like
maid outfits.
Yeah, it looks like they might actually combine to form like some sort of
by our
normal
powers combined
bionic
super Bitcoin.
Yeah, bionic.
They are the exchange
ICO bot. Oh, wow. Okay, oh. I feel a cyberpunk novel coming on where together, it built into their DNA and using DNA-based computers actually form the exchange that allows cryptocurrencies to exist.
Uh-huh.
And they go on tour in order to capture blockchain updates. Like, I could see this. Whatever anime house picks this up, I'm available to be a writer.
Have you been thinking about that for a long time, or did that just come off the top of your head?
This is off the top of my head. I've just decided I do live in a dystopian cyberpunk novel.
I'm pretty sure we all do.
Yeah
at this point.
The
cool stuff reality.
You know, I read two kinds of novels as a kid. I read the cool utopian sci-fi stuff, and I kind of hoped that's where it'd end up. And then I read the dystopian computery stuff and was like, that sucks. And that's probably going to be likely.
Johnny Mnemonic.
And I wasn't wrong. Oh, God, Johnny Mnemonic. I'm actually not a huge William Gibson fan. I don't know.
It's a
I will not be
interesting in, story.
I will not, in fact, be hacking the Gibson. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But man, cryptocurrencies, they keep I try not to make them.
They keep dominating
the news.
They're dominating the news.
Yeah.
Not really, but there is still a lot of talk about them.
Well, they go ahead.
Their gigantic climb and monumental crash, and then climb and crash, and then climb and crash.
Well, yeah, it's my desktop computer. It's an AMD FX8350, 6 cores, 4 gigahertz, DDR3 memory, all that stuff. I was going to upgrade it this year because it's about 6 years old, and my desktops usually last 6 to 7 years before I replace them. And I'm just because not only has cryptocurrency been implicated in making video card prices absolutely insane.
Yeah.
You can't even get a nice mid-range card for less than $200 these days, where the video card in my computer, I always buy mid-range because I don't do a lot of gaming, and the video card I have in that machine right now, I paid, I think, $150 for. And if you follow the technology, and if I were to buy at that same level again, this NVIDIA card that's about minimum of the range, it would be about $280 at this point.
Wow.
I mean, it's... Yeah, it far outstrips the, you know, inflation or anything like that. And then we can talk about memory prices, which have gone absolutely insane. And cryptocurrency, I'm a little skeptical of this, but Amazon and cryptocurrency and the phases of the moon have been implicated in memory prices.
There was actually an earthquake back in the early 2000s that destroyed the memory market. It was terrible.
And it was right around the same time they tried to bring in RDRAM, which was kind of ridiculous as well. And so there was this huge memory spike that memory price spike that just went on for years.
When I was building a computer every 2 years.
Right. Yeah. When you kind of had to if you were going to keep up. Where nowadays, the desktop technology has kind of evened out a bit. And you can go 5 years between desktops. But I'm going to have to go maybe 8 or 9 years with my current model. Not that I'm complaining about, you know, 8 cores or anything like that.
I'm thinking about upgrading in about a year and a half, and this is scaring me.
What are you thinking of getting?
Not quite cutting edge video card. I have to look at the specs, but I need something for, you know, heavy end gaming. It's going to be my battle station.
Unfortunately, it does seem to be a question of which security flaws you're going to accept in the processor now.
I'm hoping by the time I get there, the security flaw issues have been handled.
Yeah, that's also my hope. So cryptocurrency's ruined my life, but at least they gave me a fun song by Japanese girls dressed up with religious symbols and cryptocurrency on them. And I don't know, I kind of love it. I love the ire it raises in me. Maybe there are German words for the way I feel. I don't know.
German always sounds angry, though.
You should make that song with German.
Oddly appropriate, actually. Speaking of anger, a judge in Oregon has been suspended for 3 years without pay by the state Supreme Court after ethics hearings concluded that he broke numerous gun laws, lied to a judicial commission, used his judicial standing to intimidate a referee at his son's soccer game, and upheld a portrait of Adolf Hitler in a courthouse hall of heroes, and refused to preside over same-sex weddings. Boy, that's a fun list. Judge Vance Day, who is not a character in a novel, contended that telling same-sex couples he was unavailable while scheduling opposite-sex weddings was based on the judge's religious freedom rights under the First Amendment. Day's suspension is the longest punishment in state history of judicial discipline, but fell short of the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disabilities recommendation that he be removed from office. Day faces a criminal trial in April and is still evaluating whether to appeal his suspension to the U.S. Supreme Court.
How does this guy still have a job?
I have been told, you know, there are shows with lawyers on them who could perhaps answer that. But
dun. Oh no, not Law and Order.
Not Law and Order. No. and like the name of the show was in my brain, and now this is what happens to me now. I just lose nouns all the time. It's a bad habit for a talk show host to just lose nouns.
Yeah.
Show, it's person.
Something arguments.
Something.
Closing arguments?
Closing. No. Okay.
No? I don't know.
Yep. All right. Editing that up. Anyway. I am told that it is actually quite difficult to get rid of a judge who does not have a medical ailment. I am told that is
even if it's been recommended that he's removed.
Yeah, well, that is the thing, is that when the panel says get rid of the guy, that's supposed to be a slam dunk.
Yeah,
but
not.
Apparently not.
But some state supreme courts, and this is just scuttlebutt talking about different judges from lawyers that I used to work with, is apparently like judges. There's like a judge code, you know. There's a judge bro code.
Oh,
and
that explains something.
They didn't. Okay, the lawyers didn't describe it that way. I am not a lawyer, and this is all hearsay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It is also Oregon.
It is also Oregon, which means,
well, they finally removed the last of their racist language from their constitution in 2002.
Right. Wow, 2002.
Yes,
I forget that sometimes.
2002.
Oregon and to a certain extent Washington.
Yes.
I mean, we have this reputation, you know, you've got Portlandia, etc., that gives you this idea that Oregon is just amazing.
Put a bird on it.
Yeah.
Hipsters.
And Beards. Washington, you've got Starbucks and Amazon and Microsoft and
Tech Bros.
And, well, Tech Bros is a relatively recent phenomenon.
That's true.
But it is it's a relatively recent publicized phenomenon. It's been going on for far longer than people have been talking about it. You know, we have this reputation of being sort of a liberal paradise, but that's only
recent.
Recent, and this little bit.
It's the I-5 corridor.
You get a Vancouver, little bit away from the I-5 corridor, and it's Western.
You don't even have to go that far away from the I-5 corridor.
No.
And sometimes it sneaks into the I-5 corridor.
Well, in many ways.
Where I live.
Yeah, where you live.
Kitsap County.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bastion of conservatism.
And here in Pierce County, you just basically have to leave the city limits of Tacoma, and you start seeing a little bit of it. Certainly not to the extent that you see in Kitsap County. But, yeah, it's... The Puget Sound area follows basically like every other major metropolitan area in the United States as far as the rural-urban divide in politics.
Yes.
That's basically all it is. However, Oregon is special because of the way Oregon was set up as a territory and then a state.
Oh, yes. So in the 1840s and 50s, when they actually established Oregon in their constitution, they wrote in that people of color were not allowed to live there. I mean,
right.
I think that was their specific wording, or it was awful. But that didn't get changed until the 1920s.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. Only like 7 people were actually prosecuted under these laws, and there were a few others that were, or kicked out, excuse me. There are a few others that were...
Well, seven. Well, the thing is, there's 7 people who were officially kicked out.
Right.
We don't know what happened off the record.
Right, that's true.
And a lot of this stuff would happen.
It definitely discouraged people from moving there.
Right.
But there were a few other cases where their neighbors said they were good people and they should deserve to live there. And eventually they just stopped enforcing those rules altogether. And then the 1900s, they were like, yeah, we don't need those. And finally, in 2002, somebody was like, wow, this has still got a lot of racist stuff. We should probably do something about that.
Maybe we ought to get rid of that. Fantastic. But we are dancing around a specific thing in this story.
Hitler.
He had a portrait of Hitler.
Yeah, he had
a portrait of Hitler.
A portrait of Hitler that he refused to take down being asked.
In his Hall of Heroes, which when I heard about this, I probably, like most people who read this story, were like, what? You know what I mean?
So we looked it up while we were getting ready, and it turns out it's actually a collage with Hitler in the background.
Oh, okay.
A very large Hitler in the background.
Very, very large Hitler in the background. It's basically a picture of Hitler with little things pinned to it.
Yeah, and it's a very specific portrait of like Hitler in repose or something like that. And this was my supposition when I thought about it. It's like, why would a guy like this have a presuming he's not actually a Nazi, which is not something at the moment I was willing to discount.
Yeah, it's Oregon.
Right. It's Oregon. Well, it's also...
It's the Pacific Northwest.
It's also America in the 21st century. I hate to put it that way, but this we are kind of dealing with this in many places in the states right now.
We have a significant population of far right white supremacist organizations in this area.
That's definitely, and that's also true. So I had to like take my brain along two tracks. Track one was this guy is a white supremacist and really likes Hitler, and he's choosing this hill to die on, even though to die on that hill, he really should have done it in the 40s. The other track is why does this guy think this is patriotic? And what I eventually landed on was, is it a war prize?
That could be the case, but even then, it's still a horrible taste.
It's in ridiculously horrible taste. So it turns out that this judge is also, I mean, one of the things that this judge does is he works with the veteran courts, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this Hall of Heroes was his idea of honoring veterans. And in it, he had a portrait of Hitler, which is... So he might have thought it, and as we read about it, it was a GI, or go ahead.
Yeah, it was a veteran who had torn, I guess, this picture of Hitler out while they were in war and brought it back as a trophy, and then they pinned up all the other things around
right.
it.
So I want to understand this guy's thinking, because I want to understand crazy when crazy happens. It's just a thing I do. But, and so I'm just trying to figure out how we get the equation to the point where you've got a guy who's defending a portrait of Hitler in an American court. That's weird. Like, this should be a non-starter. Hey, you know there's a portrait of Hitler in your courtroom? Or in your area outside your courtroom? Yeah, that's probably a bad choice. We should get, like, this should be a no-brainer.
But it's not a no-brainer to old white dudes who have their heads so far up their butts that they can't even realize that things like that are offensive to other people. This guy was arrested is kicked out because he wouldn't do same-sex weddings. He's obviously a bigot. He won't marry gay people. He probably hates Black people,
and that's
too.
That's exactly it.
That's how it logically follows. He specifically threatened another judge. Well, almost threatened another judge. Somebody asked him to take it down, and he said, "You better drop this case because there are some very important people that want the Hitler picture up in the Hall of Heroes."
Right.
Which,
and that's
sounds like a veiled threat to this other judge.
And that's the other question here is, you know, a judge is supposed to take an oath to uphold the Constitution and support its citizens, and that means all citizens, and he's supposed to follow the dictates, you know, he's supposed to follow case law and procedure that's set by not only the state Supreme Court, but the federal Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has been pretty direct on who's allowed to get married, and he just doesn't accommodate that, so he's already making value judgment about which citizens are worth his time and which citizens are not.
Yeah, the only way that it would be okay for him to not preside over marriage of gay folks would be as if he didn't do marriages at all. That would be the only legal way for him to do that.
Would it be legal if he had somebody else to do it for him? Is that legal? I don't know. I don't know the specifics of that.
It's an all or none situation.
Okay.
Saying, correct?
Yeah, I get it.
You can either... You marry people and you marry everyone, or you don't marry people and
right.
you don't marry anyone.
But he's picking and choosing.
Yes, which
you
is
cannot do that.
You
yeah.
cannot do that under the law.
And so what you end up with is a judge who is already making value judgments outside of his professional capacity about which citizens are worthy of his protection and his judgment, and which citizens are not. And just to boot, he's got a picture of Hitler up on the wall. He's not Captain Optics, is he?
No. And he somehow still has his job.
And that's, yeah.
I mean, he was suspended for 3 entire years.
Are they expecting, like, and then that brings, you know, I'm suitably American enough to ask questions about money. Is this protection of his, of when he retires? Like, does he get to keep his, if he's suspended without pay, does he get to keep his retirement bonuses or anything like that?
My guess is yes, but considering what happened over the weekend, that's a pretty pertinent question.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about the Trump thing.
The Trump thing.
Yeah.
I'm one of those.
Not really in the mood to do the best words this week.
Understand.
I'll be honest with you. I'm just tired of talking about it. Because nothing happens. Not just because I don't think anybody's doing anything, but it's just like, Watergate took 3 years. Like, Watergate took a long time.
This
like,
is going to take a while.
This is going to take a while, and I don't... I'm not that interested in commenting on literally every tweet an idiot makes, and I don't care what office that idiot holds.
Good point.
But in my neck of the woods, a judge with a portrait of Hitler on his wall who won't... who won't see all American citizens as equal...
shouldn't be a judge.
...asks really horrible questions, and the question about whether or not he's fired is an open and important one. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break, and we come back, we're going to talk about Christianity.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And I'm always a little bit worried when I try to figure out how a person who's probably racist and horrible thinks, because somebody's going to be like, oh, you're defending him. I'm not defending him. I just want to know what's going on in people's brains. It's a habit of mine. You know what I mean?
It can be a dangerous habit, though. Sometimes
it can be a dangerous habit.
You find out the answer and you didn't want to know.
It's a scary
answer. Well, I'm expecting something terrible. I'm not expecting Care Bears. I'm expecting Hellraiser. and maybe if I figure out how this brain thinks, I can say the magical words that will send him back into his whites only country club dimension.
How that works.
It's my dream. It's my hope. So I'm going to follow it. What happened there?
I said, oh, goodness. Oh, that's not my catchphrase.
That's not your catchphrase. But under the circumstances, I think it's allowed. So I have a story about Christianity. Would you like to hear? So I know we've been accused of talking too much about Christianity on a show about atheism. And I, you know what? I'll back up on it. I'll admit it. You know, I mean, we're atheists. We live in a world, in a Christian substrate world. And most of what we have to deal with as atheists is about Christianity. I mean, that's just the truth. And so when you're an American doing an atheist show, Christianity is going to come up, especially when it's this kind of Christianity. A man with the legal name of Jesus Christianity has been sentenced in the UK for threats he made last summer during Cardiff's Pride celebration. Christianity shouted Bible quotes to transit passengers, yelled hateful slurs including "It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Adam," and said he had a bomb in his backpack and he was planning to use to blow up gay people at the Pride march. An armed officer who tackled and arrested Christianity found a toy gun but no explosive device. Christianity's lawyer argued for leniency due to Christianity's psychiatric problems. I'm sorry.
You almost made it. So close.
Christianity's psychiatric problems, including anxiety disorder, and said that threats Christianity posed were merely a reaction triggered by the stress of public transit. Christianity has a criminal history of assault, arson threats, and property damage. Damage. The last word is damage.
I just have to say, I have anxiety and I don't threaten to kill people with bombs on buses. That's a bad no.
Not any bomb, but a very selective bomb.
Yeah, a special bomb that will only kill gay people, apparently. It'll just explode gay people, not the...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's an interesting magical explosive technology, which makes him literally, I think, a war criminal. Like, I'm pretty sure that violates the Geneva Convention.
I think... Oh, jeez.
Wasn't expecting that.
There are so many things...
Nobody expects the Geneva Conventions!
It's been a while since I've heard that.
Yeah, well. So...
So he even got, like, it's Adam and Adam?
Yeah.
He got that's wrong on a couple levels, right?
Well, that wrong or well, yeah, on a couple levels. Jeremy downstairs was saying, well, technically it was Adam and Adam because of, you know, cloning.
Yeah. Right, the rib thing.
Yeah, the rib thing. Yeah. Eve basically is Adam's clone with different things.
And I honestly think Adam on Adam action
genetic
is a
disorders.
What's that?
Are you calling women genetic disorders?
No.
Oh, let's slowly back away from that one.
I mean, if you have children with yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, that is totally not good for your progeny's genes.
Maybe we should throw the genetics of Genesis on the pile for a future show.
Oh yeah.
Bad. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Well, I think when he says it's not Adam and Adam, he's actually advocating against a slightly different sin in his eyes than what is generally meant by
it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah. But Adam and Adam suggests either just basic onanism or a certain flexibility that would probably make Adam a fairly well-known performer in certain circles.
Possibly.
Yeah.
If you're
There's
into
some
that.
Shows for that, I'm sure.
So Becky and I ordered some special Skittles.
Skittles?
Yeah.
What kind of special Skittles?
We ordered Skittles from the UK, which are white. They are colorless. They were made specifically for Pride in the UK because basically the ad campaign was pay attention to the Pride rainbow, not taste the rainbow.
Huh.
Yeah. Cool.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Becky really likes lime Skittles, and that was one way to get them.
Are they all lime flavored?
No, they're regular flavored, but you don't know what they are.
There's no way to tell. They're surprise Skittles.
I don't know what to do with this guy. He's crazy and he named himself Jesus Christianity, and he's not even as much fun as Cat Stevens. I mean, Cat Stevens at least can make a song. This guy just shouts and pretends to explode people. I don't know what to do with that other than what you've already done, which is, I think, the best thing that could be done with this story. You know, we can talk about Christianity's criminal history and physical altercations between good people and Christianity. And we can talk about Christianity's crimes against citizenships and the fact that Christianity might have violated the Geneva Conventions at some point. We can have this conversation, but beyond that, I don't really know.
Oh, man. So much allegory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So much allegory. Allegory all over the place. Emails?
Emails.
Awesome. Okay, Megan from Texas writes, if you could live on any planet or moon other than ours, which one and why? What do you think it would take to really live there, and how do you feel about socks with sandals? Whoa, okay, I wasn't... That went in a fun direction. Let's tackle this as two questions.
Okay.
Let's do socks with sandals first, because I think we can adequately execute that, which is perhaps what I think should be done. Luke, how about you?
I occasionally have worn socks with sandals, but generally I'm against it.
Okay, why?
Mostly for the joke factor.
Oh, okay.
Honestly.
All right.
But if you only have sandals and your toes are cold and it's raining, you know, socks.
Fair.
Why would you only have sandals if you live in Washington and it rains all the time? Put some shoes on.
That's a good point. I have no idea.
But I am not in favor of socks with sandals. I do not find it personally aesthetically pleasing. I think it looks lazy. Put some shoes on.
If you're going for unaesthetically pleasing on purpose.
I mean, if...
This is...
Well, sure, if you want to go that way.
I
don't like it. I think it looks lazy.
It looks lazy. What can...
Oh, no, now I'm being judgy of other people's fashion, aren't I? I would never personally wear socks with sandals. I don't think it looks good, but you do, you boo.
I have pictures of me in socks and sandals on Facebook.
I
don't understand why you would wear sandals if you have shoes, or why you need to wear socks with them. They're not made for wearing socks with. They're specifically to get more air onto your feet.
I think it's a traditional Northwest joke.
It is, I think, because I started hearing about complaints about socks with sandals when I was living in Arizona.
How do you feel?
I didn't wear sandals until about 2 years ago. I was anti-sandal, And so I was already familiar with the socks with sandals meme a little bit. But now having worn sandals, I could see why you might want to wear socks. I can see why. And for two reasons. There's the physics reason and the social reason. Is if you want to wear a sign that says, I am not participating in human fashion, and I would like you to leave me alone about it, socks with sandals are a pretty good way to go.
I'm feeling a little more enlightened now.
Yeah, it's like, if I wanted to go into a room and wear an outfit that literally says, I don't care about outfits, it wouldn't be jeans and a t-shirt now, which was my usual flag about I don't care about what I'm wearing. It would now be socks with sandals. And it's more because it's right. It's getting into the realm of I am violating your sensibilities. But we're not talking about like cyan polka dots on orange or plaid with stripes, or we're not getting into literal
eyeball assault.
It's just enough to signal. It's sort of like a dad hanky code. A little bit.
A what?
Oh, Hanky? Boy, I'm not ready to unpack that
okay.
on this show.
Just never mind.
But it's a way, it could be a way to say, I have decided as a human to not participate in your fashion games.
I can respect that.
Yeah, I can see that. The only time I've ever done it was as a joke.
Right.
Generally speaking, if I'm wearing sandals, it's going to be because I'm going in the water.
And I had worked a developing theory that perhaps on extremely hot days, the sandals would provide ventilation, while the socks would aid in wicking away moisture. But given the way socks are generally constructed, I don't know that that would be particularly effective, and I think the sandals alone would do a better job. And that's the physics thing. This is what I think about. I think about this.
In a low humidity environment, you wouldn't really need the socks for the wicking.
Well, that's just it. In Arizona, you know, it's either, it's very close to zero humidity, as close as you can get on Earth to zero humidity in some cases, or it's stupid humid because it's storm season and it's raining anyway and you don't want to wear sandals. And so I never, like, there were eras in my life when I lived in Arizona where I would forget that sweat was a thing that happened because it was just dry all the time.
That sounds lovely.
That would be nice.
There is quite a lot to commend Arizona, and some things that maybe not, which we might get to. But all right, so that's it for socks and sandals, and I cannot believe we spent that long talking about it. Especially when there's this other question, which is if you could live on another celestial object, what would it be, Luke?
I would, if it was between Mars and the moon, I'd go with Mars.
Really?
It has 1/5 Earth's gravity as opposed to 1/6.
Right.
So I'd be more acclimatized to that environment. It also has an actual atmosphere.
Okay.
It's not very thick.
Right.
But it has one.
But it's something you can work with.
Yeah, I could work with that.
Okay.
I think I'd go for Europa, actually. Jupiter's moon.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You'd have to live underground all the time.
Underground, yeah. Under ice.
Yeah, it would be under ice.
You'd have to contend with ice quakes and very cold temperatures, but I think it would be a very interesting and rewarding experience to not have that Earth-like atmosphere.
Yeah, and you've got the potential for life,
mm-hmm.
which could help. You have the potential for more aquaculture, which could be good.
Plus, you have a beautiful view of Jupiter.
Well, and that... amazing. That also provides a problem because Jupiter spits out a lot of radiation, which makes the surface of Europa only habitable for short periods of time, which is why you would have to live underground on Europa.
Isn't the distance from the sun an issue for solar power?
Well, there's that too. You'd have to go much more crazy with solar power.
That would be a much more interesting place than Mars, though.
Right? That's why I think it'd be fun to go there. I mean, we know what life would be like on Mars. We saw the Martian, right? We have an idea of how that kind of thing would be, how that kind of colony would be set up.
I'd really enjoy setting that up.
Yeah, well...
it would be so amazing.
So...
what about you?
Once upon a time, we were going to do, like, swag for Ask an Atheist. And we may still do that again. I've always wanted an Ask an Atheist t-shirt, and we've never made it. But I once made a joke about a bumper sticker that I would wear that... a couple of people suggested I should sell, which is I'd rather be a subsistence farmer on Venus. Which honestly, if I could, I I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys about how my country hates me. If I had the opportunity, I would migrate. I would go to another planet. Hands down, no question.
Agreed.
It was actually a foundational question of my relationship with Becky. We will get married, but if settlement of another planet will happen, I'm going to go for it. Becky's assuming she's not, and that would just be, you know, okay, maybe we'd stay married, but I'd live on another planet and we'd probably never see each other again. Because my assumption is that it would be a one-way trip.
Yeah,
that's what settlement is, generally a one-way trip.
Yeah.
The amount of time it would take to get there, probably, yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot to commend Venus in that you would live in, you'd live on hot air balloons all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you would basically live in this on the set of Care Bears, but on Venus, Venusian Care Bears.
Couldn't touch the surface almost never.
Yeah. And that's the way that they're thinking, that if Venus were to be colonized, that's the way it would be done, is with balloon arcologies.
Resource harvesting, though, how would that go? Resource acquisition?
It'd be very difficult.
That would be insane.
But Venus has a lot of chemical stuff that could be used for agriculture if you could get at it. Much like Titan, which would be one of my, which would be on my list. But there's so much you could do on the moon. The moon is nearby, so you could still have the internet, which means my life would change very little. Other than I just have more to, I would have different things I would do with my day. Instead of building radio stations, I'd be trying to breathe. but
hopefully succeeding.
Yeah, hopefully succeeding. But apparently, you know, there's water on the moon. Apparently, you can get helium-3 out of the regolith, which would be good for power and rockets and all that stuff. It's apparently, it can be made arable, which means you can farm. And I'd be taking a gamble on the gravity, but I think it might be enough gravity to not instantly kill me, but I wouldn't be coming back. Like I said, I'm assuming this is a one-way trip.
Right. Venus is almost analogous to Earth.
Right.
Except for its backward spin that's really slow.
It's a very strange spin, and the fact that the gases would kill you if the pressure wouldn't kill you.
So much pressure.
Yeah. I don't handle pressure too well.
Oh, I was going to go with that joke.
Oh, sorry. It's a thing I do sometimes. I have to. I do sometimes make a joke that somebody else is going to make, and I feel bad about it. I was a member of the Mars Society once upon a time. The reason I'm no longer a member of the Mars Society is a story that has very little to do with space travel and is for very much another day. You know, the L5 Society, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I think the most service, like the best place to, like, for me to settle that would help other people might actually be the moon, which, because you would be establishing a colony right outside of the gravity well, because having a colony on the moon would aid the exploration of other planets. It'd be way easier to leave.
Yeah, to get spaceships out of Earth's gravity.
It'd be the first step.
Right. It would be the first step.
You would
exactly
say like one first. Yeah.
But I think it would be ultimately boring because it's not because it's I think it might be more boring than settling Mars because it's because you'd live in a mall basically your whole life, which is kind of OK with me. I grew up in the Midwest in the 80s. I mean, you've all seen those movies.
Yes.
You know, the farming would look completely different, where you actually have a good chance at terraforming Mars. Or that's something that's just not going to happen on the moon.
Not on the moon, no.
It would look very different, but it's more technologically possible, and I think it would help getting off this rock a little more. Yeah, I almost sound like a religious person when I talk about this stuff. But, it's just, I just assume that it's not going to happen in my lifetime. So
it's so exciting to think about, though.
It is exciting to think about. It is. And, you know, okay, if it happens in my lifetime, I'll be too old or too useless. And that's depressing.
Well, think of it this way. I mean, in the next 20 years, if we do manage to get there, you could be one of the people that sets everything up for everybody else. It's pretty much a guaranteed one-way trip. You're not probably going to survive very long.
Yeah. Well,
you can get the framework.
Well, yeah. If I could be, you're going to go there, you're going to work there for a couple of years, but you're probably going to die. I'd sign up because it's that important to me.
Same.
Yeah.
But I am hideously unhealthy. Oh, I'm not, but I am unhealthy. I they're not going to send a high school dropout. I'll just put it that way.
You never know.
You never know. But it's also kind of like the opinion I have on futurism. You know, like all the mind uploading and stuff like that. I do play a little transhumanism now and again. But my story has always been like you've got like FM 2030 and Kurzweil and Max Moore who said, oh, it's going to happen within your lifetime. My joke is always going to be mind uploading is going to be invented 5 minutes after I'm irretrievably dead.
That's usually the story of my life.
Yeah, it's going to they're going to figure it out. And oh, really? God, Sam's going to love it. Where is he? Oh, his brain exploded. Yeah, he can't play. Ha ha ha.
Aww.
Yeah. Nah, like I said, it's just I used to think that I was I was you know, it's the pessimism that just infects me.
They always upgraded the computer labs at the schools I was at the year after.
Well, in that case, I was usually involved with upgrading the computer labs for the next group of people. I'm not kidding. Nope. I wired my high school before I left.
I tried to do that. I wrote for the school newspaper, and so I tried to get us to.
We have a fair bit of similarities, you and I. I was actually a columnist for my school newspaper.
Oh, right. I was the news editor for about a year.
Yeah.
And a columnist in the news section.
Wow. Okay. Nerd convention. Newspaper. You didn't write for the school newspaper?
We didn't have one.
Oh, well, yeah. That's...
Right.
And on that note, this is Ask an Atheist. Our website is atheist.radio. Our voicemail is 844-753-7842. You can email us at questions@atheist.radio. More space talk, please. I love it. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you, Sam.
I hope you had fun on your second time out, Luke.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. See you guys next week.